The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz. Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Ayurveda and Indian cooking. As many of you may already know, I have an Indian background. Both my parents are from India and watched them growing up, you know, experiment in the kitchen, and then had a mom that was very health conscious as well. So have learned to adapt over the years a lot of the great recipes and trying to make them healthy and trying to make them to where, you know, they are more realistic for daily life. So I am super excited today to introduce you guys to May Abraham Friedel. She is a food literacy advocate, an author, a philanthropist, and the founder and CEO of the organic spice company, Passion for Spices. She educates both children and adults on healthy eating through food literacy programs. She grew up in Kerala, which is a state in India, where the knowledge of Indian cuisine and spices were passed down to her by her family of spice growers. Her mission is to share her passion for food, culture, and sustainable living with people around the globe who want to embrace healthy eating. Welcome to the show, May.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to have a great discussion with you.
Well, we are pleased to have you, and I've got to be 100% honest here. You know, I love Indian food, but you know, I honestly don't have the patience to prepare Indian food as I watch my mother-in-law or even my dad or my mom try to put these recipes together. So my version of what we eat is a very quick version. I often make a lot of adaptations. And I know that you've got a book focusing on Indian cuisine for diabetes, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I would love for you to explain to our listeners a little bit about the role of Indian food and cooking in your life and its connection to Ayurveda and how you've sort of brought those things, married those things together and brought them to life.
Right. I was born in Kerala, where we, as you mentioned, from a spice growers family. We were from Persia. We settled down in Kerala with pepper and gold traders we were. And I grew up with a scent of spices and sustainable lifestyle all my life, and my ancestors lived like that. So always in the back of our head, and they always showcase good living, good healthy practices, especially my grandfather, who was a centenarian, was always explaining to us how we should eat and what we should incorporate, seasonal vegetables, if you are asthmatic, use yogurt in the evenings. And honey is a great way of, local honey they introduced in our diet. And cooking everything in a balanced way, morning till evening. So everything was made from scratch, and integrating spices, the right spices, and the techniques.
What do you think the biggest lesson you learned from somebody like your grandfather, who is, you know, obviously growing spices, living with the land, you know, honoring the land. What do you think the greatest lesson was that he passed down to you?
I think food should be, when you eat food, you always think about health. He will say, okay, to build your body for certain immune system, you have to add like things like gooseberry with honey, and when you use turmeric, you have to have black pepper with that. And whenever we get sick also, we always make a concoction of different spices like ajwain and cumin, mm-hmm. And even ginger, we make a tea with that. And the haldi dood, which is like the turmeric milk we have when we are sick.
Yeah.
So everything, things like that is integrated into our lifestyle practice. Not just
did
the
food system. But even all the different spices.
Yeah, we always made fresh ghee, and we had cows fresh. Everything was fresh except the sugar and things like that. We grew grains and everything, whole grains, like, you know,
right.
Everything like rice, brown rice. So when we make a meal in Kerala, we have such a balanced meal, like in a brown rice with a couple of different kinds of vegetables. So in the book, I have a vegetable called soran, because I made it practical for the American way. It's called thoran. You can have any kind of vegetables. You just pulse in the food processor and season with a little coconut and spices. And it's steamed and very little oil. And you can have a whole bowl of that with a little brown rice and some fish or meat. So you don't need a whole lot of preparation techniques. just simple and easy, but the seasoning is important. I have showcased in the book the techniques of cooking Indian spices, so the tadka seasonings and the korma bases and dum cooking, which is like a steamed...
Hang on just a second. We'll get into that in just a moment. But so your grandfather, did he, when he passed down these secrets of spices, so to speak, did he know he was speaking the language of health or of Ayurveda, or was this just something that was sort of handed down generation to generation?
Yeah, well, my great-grandfather was an Ayurvedic specialist as well, holistic practitioner.
Okay.
So it was all in the family, and everything, the hair oils, everything was prepared at home, and we always discussed that, and whenever you prepare dishes, it was all focused on health benefits.
On health. Fantastic. So, I think, you know, there's a study out just this week that's talking a lot about eating and how eating today is really takes place in the mind first before it happens anywhere else. And when we eat, a lot of times we're eating out of emotion. We're not necessarily eating for health or eating because we're hungry. And one of the greatest principles of Ayurveda, which, you know, it's a system of medicine that I love and I've studied and I even use in practice today, is, again, connecting those pieces together, connecting your emotional makeup, how you eat, you know, the energy with which you bring to your eating together, because that ultimately is what determined health. You know, what do you think some of the greatest lessons are that we can take from the Ayurvedic principles of cooking and eating and apply them to today's life? What are some of the things that you, if I asked you for the top three things, what would those be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can just quickly give you an example how I brought it back to my life here in the U.S. My child, I was in financial services and very busy mom, and I had a child, and he had all kinds of issues, immune system issues and asthma and allergies. And I said, what am I doing it wrong? Like, I was busy, mm-hmm. I never cooked. And then I went back and sat down and I talked to my parents, and they said, you got to cook, you got to do integrate spices and
so
things
true.
Like that. And I added, and I completely changed my son's lifestyle. And then he became, the doctors are all asking me, what did you do? I didn't do anything but just the simple practices I grew up with. And his immune system tremendously improved. I stopped all medications and just integrating wholesome, whole grain, fresh food, like with a lot of spices, ginger, garlic, lemon, lime, turmeric, black pepper, and all kinds of herbs and like mint and cilantro. And I tried to grow everything in my edible garden, and I promote that. We have curry leaf growing, we have cilantro growing, bay leaf, and all kinds of herbs. I have like 10 different, I have an herb garden, and I have a organic garden at my home, couple of gardens I have. So I promote that.
Fantastic.
As well.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, for our listeners, you know, one of the take-home lessons right away would be, you know, it's about whole foods and fresh foods, which I think many of you know, and you've heard me say that we all have to get back in the kitchen, and it's a challenge for all of us, even for me, because we're so busy. But I love the idea of taking that more comfortable concept of whole foods and marrying it to using all great medicinal spices, because like May has mentioned, there's so many great medicinal spices today that should be used honestly routinely. Turmeric, for example, you know, which is an anti-inflammatory herb. Ginger is another anti-inflammatory and can also be used for stomach issues. Ajwain, which in America, what is ajwain? Is that black seed? Is it the same thing as black seed?
No, it's not. I think it's bishop weed or something like that. It's called, I think it's in the book I mentioned. The way you use it, when when you cumin and ajwain and all that, you need to get the oil out. So ajwain, you have to, when you put it in the food, you have to just rub it between the fingers or something in your palm and put it. Even cumin, when you toast it, it really enhances the flavor. If you have raw cumin, it's not going to be flavorful. But what you do is in a tawa, you toast it in a medium heat, and then you crush it, it really becomes more flavorful. Otherwise, it's too raw flavor. Those techniques are important. And most of the time, as you see, in turmeric, I think people here, they are so caught up in the turmeric thing and eat raw. I think that's not a good idea. my parents wouldn't recommend me to eat turmeric raw. It has to be eaten with some kind of fat, like, you know, either oil or ghee or something like that. And then usually they say adding with black pepper, it absorbs in your body better. And as you know, turmeric is, the best turmeric is available in Alappuzha district in Kerala, which has the highest content of curcumin. And we have the best black pepper in Kerala also. Yeah. Now I have a team of people going to India to look into, we are growing in Atlanta. And I have a collaborator who's starting to discuss with me to learn about growing turmeric and ginger from practices from Kerala. Yeah.
Fascinating. So I'm curious, as a physician, you know, in a place like Kerala where the turmeric there has such a high concentration of curcumin versus turmeric elsewhere, is there much autoimmune disease, inflammatory diseases like the diseases we see here today? Like, do you guys have a lot of, you know, lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, you know, diseases of metabolism like obesity? Does that exist in Kerala or not necessarily?
Now, Kerala is pretty good, but the thing is, no, the problem is nowadays the youngsters are not cooking. They are really eating from outside, and that is really causing a problem. So I am actually traveling, working with diabetic centers, and I am actually giving presentations and talks all over Kerala and Madras and everywhere, saying you have to go back to your old self, like you want to learn from your ancestors. Otherwise, you know, you can create all kinds of chronic illnesses. So that's what's happening in India. And they're all sprayed and things like that. See, that is one of the reasons I introduced my organic line. So I'm getting from all around the world, and my connections in India, the spices here, we steam clean it, and we package it here so that I am certified organic. So I know it's high quality and with no salt or additives. My spices are very pure, and they can go into passionforspices.com to check and order online if they would like.
So, listeners, I hope you heard that. Her line, Passion for Spices, is an organic spice line. Again, just like here in the U.S., they're seeing in India as well the effects of using chemicals and additives to our food and to our ingredients and the effect that that has on our health. You know, one of the questions I often get, you know, when I'm traveling and speaking is, you know, hey, Indian food is healthy. It's vegetarian. You know, why do so many Indians have diabetes and high cholesterol or hypertension? I know my answer to that question. How would you answer that question?
I think it's genetic, basically, but I know so many of, I know a friend's mom is 100 years old. She is diabetic, but she eats very sustainably, like in a roti, which is whole grain. And she's still, I think, 100 years, 100 and close to 100, I think, with no issues. Even when you have diabetic issues, if you take care of your body, you will be well. But instead of taking too much medications and all that, they can control that. The lifestyle practice is so important. And why is it happening in this day and age? I don't know. I think it's the food which is processed. And they're not eating the way nobody is cooking. Many of the youngsters doesn't know how to cook. I think that is a problem, you know. So that's what I have, this food literacy program. I have actually, yesterday, I had a connection with the Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in New Jersey. So they want me to work with Asian American community. There's a lot of issues with diabetic issues. So they're having a whole center that I'm going to work with them.
Now, is your book focused on healing diabetes through food and Indian cuisine, or is it focused on just getting back in the kitchen and understanding how to work with food and reestablishing that relationship with healthy food?
No, this is published by American Diabetes Association. So every recipe is tested with the guidelines of by ADA. So I carefully selected hand-picked, curated recipes from all regions of India, and then tested in my test kitchen with my team of chefs, and then again tested at the ADA nutritionist. They tested it, and so it's a really beautiful collections of fun recipes, not boring, but integrated with spices. For example, I have a lot of interesting, like, you know, Kerala's recipes are really like the fish molly, like a fish stew. We have even parathas are actually used. I use like whole grain pastry flour, so it's easy for, it's fine enough, but if the quality is good, I pick it up from Whole Foods or places like that. You can order online. And even the salad, like, you know, I have like beetroot, carrot salad with no oil, and my mom's lemon chutney, which is actually a whole lemon, which is put in the food processor and made easy without any oil. You can eat it with any rice and things like that. We have featured many dishes, for beginners to experienced chefs, like high-end chefs are using my recipes. So it is like a variety and choice of dishes for the whole family, weeknight meals, for entertainment, for exotic dinners. So we have showcased quite a few recipes, and it took me 3.5 years to make this.
Wow, fantastic. Well, congratulations on the book. Where can my listeners find your book?
It's all over the world, actually. Thing is, all over the U.S. in Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart. And of course, go to the Shop Diabetes ADA site, shopdiabetes.org. And they can go into my website also. There is a book page we have showcased, passionforspices.com, and book go. You can check the book page, and then you can read about it. And then if you are abroad in India, UK, and Canada, you can do Amazon or here also Amazon as well. And anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer. Email me at may@passionforspices.com.
Fantastic. You know, for my listeners, Indian cooking, as complicated as it may sound with the different spices and the different techniques, some of which she's mentioned, like roasting the spices and, you know, bringing the flavor out and things like that. Once you get the handle of it, it's not as intimidating as it seems. And I know in May's book, you know, she brings this to life and shows us all how to get back in the kitchen and how to maybe use Indian cuisine to add to the other things you may be making as a way to reestablish a healthy relationship with food. May, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners will be running to check out your book and learn more about Indian cuisine, Ayurveda, and again, for everyone, remembering always that food is medicine and what we eat determines our health, and we need to be wise and conscious about those choices every day. Thanks so much for joining us.